You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, March 15th, 2024. You're listening to me, Grandpa Dan, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. As always, I start off reminding you, we have our Sven Longshank support links here on the Daily Nationalist page, the description page for these shows. I will continue to encourage you to drop in an email, postcard, a note, even just a few minutes, a note and a stamp, just to let him know we're thinking about him. We're going to keep on keeping on with that. Until he finally gets released, we get to see him. And we're hoping that soon. I'll keep you posted if I hear anything definite. We're all definitely looking forward to that. Obviously, when he is released, you know, being realistic, he's probably not going to be able to return to podcasting, at least not right away. But we'll see how that goes. And I'm looking forward because I will be able to sit down and visit with him. And maybe we can even do like Dr. Johnson and I in a round table and have a visit with him. I don't know. The main thing is when he gets released, we got to make sure I've told him, you know, the number one thing is to make sure that, you know, he stays within the conditions of his release. Nothing gets accomplished if he gets sent back to jail. So we will be bending over backwards to make sure that that happens. But we will continue to support him. We will continue to thinking about him. And we will continue to keep abreast of his situation. Well, speaking of situation, it is once again, the situation is that it is Friday. It's the end of the week, the official work week. Many of you I know are stuck working on Saturdays, but that's okay because you can listen to this show whenever you get a chance. And I am continuing trying to bring back Lighthearted Fridays. You know, I kind of got away from that spin. Always wanted Fridays to be a more of a lighthearted show to wrap up the week. And I kind of got away from that as I struggled with the Daily Nationalist format a little bit, trying to find my stride. But I am back to trying to make Fridays more of a lighthearted show, and that's kind of taken on several different looks here. Some of that you might like, and some of it you might not. Today's show, I'm not going to look at a specific news story once again. But I just kind of look at some of the stuff that's been in the news the past week and have a little fun with it. Look, this is just going to be a fun discussion. You know, we had a great intellectual show for the Daily Nationalist, courtesy of our own Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. Serious takes, serious stuff. We do that here. This show, the Friday show, it's going to be lighthearted. I'm going to kind of make an exception and just kind of have fun. So you can relax and hopefully have a few laughs. There's nothing wrong. I hate it when people act like, you know, being serious and understanding the world around us, you know, means that you got to be dour and unhappy all the time. I have conversations. Sometimes people will write to me or whatever. And you know, they're very, how do I want to put it? Very negative. They have this very, like, somehow they're not taking things seriously unless, you know, they're very negative and hate everything around them and just perpetually unhappy. And those people will often be surprised to find out that's not how I am. It's not how I'm going to live my life. Life is short and we choose how we live it. And I've refused to live my life walking around letting other people's decisions, you know, turn me into this sourpuss that goes around being, you know, bitter and angry all the time. So I always say you control yourself. And when you start really understanding what that means and being proactive in your own life, it empowers you. I hate to use that term because, you know, the system uses that in a twisted manner. But it does make you empowered when you understand that, you know, you start taking action and things that you can actually change. There's nothing more frustrating than beating your head against the wall over things you don't have any way to affect. Funny because people say, you know, oh, well, you know, you've got to do that. You know, it's like, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. okay, well, where is your great track record of success? Telling you, understand the things you can do and start accomplishing those things, and you'll understand, you'll start seeing some progress. Anyway, that's not today's topic. We got all kinds of stuff. All kinds of stuff. Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton's always a favorite of mine because she just won't go away. She just will not go away. She can't get over it. I saw a story here recently, and she came out of the woodwork once again, and I'm going to read this quote. It's becoming clearer every day. A vote for Trump is a vote for Team Putin. I mean, a vote for Donald Trump is a vote for Vladimir Putin. You notice the way she words that, by the way. I always say, for people, our listeners that are like in Europe or other various parts of the world, you just don't understand. I always say that Americans view politics, they view everything in the context of either a Hollywood action film or a sports ball game match, you know, some form of football, you know, American football, some sort of team, and you got to pick your team and you cheer for your team, and it doesn't matter how absurd your team is or stupid or whatever, you cheer for your team, otherwise you're some sort of traitor. And I thought that quote there from Hillary Clinton was interesting because it does highlight it, you know, Team Putin. You're voting for Team Putin. You just like showing up with a jersey from the opposing team, you traitor. A vote for, you know, we always talk about, they always hit us with these terms, you know, our democracy. You know, and the average person that doesn't understand, they think that democracy still indicates something to do with voting or the will of the people. I was thinking about that and her quote, a vote for Trump is a vote for Team Putin. You see, I say that's an interesting thing. I say, let's do away with the middleman. Let's put Vladimir Putin on the ballot. I say, let's do it. We're supposed to have the democracy, and they want people to think the democracy has something to do with voting. I say, let's go all in on the democracy and put Putin on the ballot. He'd still beat Hillary Clinton. It would be interesting as a fun exercise if you put Vladimir Putin on the ballot, wouldn't it? Put Putin on the ballot and just see, just out of his pure, you know, no meddling in the elections. Let's have the democracy and see what the values of who we are. Let's put Putin on the ballot. Hell, let's make it fun. We'll put Putin on the ballot along, you know, and his opponent could be Hillary Clinton. And I think she'd still lose. You know, you have that insult for trans people, you know, where you say you'll never be a woman. I think Trump should tell anytime anybody runs into Hillary Clinton, they should just say you'll never be a president. You can try to act all you want. You'll never be a president. You'll never be a woman. Hell, who knows? There may not be a lot of there may be more overlap there than what we think. It'd be funny if we had Putin on the ballot versus Hillary. I think he'd still win. I'd vote for him. It's one of my favorite lines, you know, when people say, who are you voting? Are you voting? I say, no, I'm not. I'm not going to be voting. Why not? This is the most important. This is the most important election of our lifetimes. Like, I've been here a lot of years. And I've heard that every election, literally every single election, they tell us it's the most important election of our lifetime. And people say, well, why not? How come you're not voting? Which candidate do you support? When you respond with something along the lines of, well, you know, what would get you to vote? They'll say, what will get you to vote? And it's like, well, I'm not voting. You know, Adolf Hitler's not on the ballot this year. So I won't be casting my vote. They don't know how to respond to that. They don't see the humor in it. Putin was on the ballot. It would make things fun. Let's have some entertaining. These elections aren't fun. These elections are ridiculous. Now they're obviously all rigged. So that makes it even less. I mean, if we're going to do rigged elections, we're going to have predetermined outcomes. And obviously we do. If we're going to have predetermined outcomes, then why don't we actually, they should, instead of running out Vince McMahon from the WWE, I still want to call it the WWF, that shows you how old I am. Instead of running Vince McMahon out of there, they should have put him in charge of the election system. He should be the chairman of the board of the election systems in America. We could have Vince McMahon because we have predetermined outcomes. So we should do it like the old WWF, the WWE. It should be scripted, and at least it would be entertaining. There's Biden and there's Hillary Clinton out there. Let's say that we keep picking on Hillary Clinton. There's Hillary Clinton out there shaking her fist. We could set up a podium. And she's like shaking her fist. A vote for Donald Trump is a vote for Team Putin. Team Putin. Y'all don't want Putin to win. He hates our democracy, our values of who we are. And then out from behind the curtain, Vladimir Putin could run out. But he probably wouldn't take part in our WWE elections. So you'd have to have somebody that looks like him. It still, it doesn't matter. Put some makeup on the people, buy it. Hell, they buy the idea that Biden is somehow calling the shots in the White House. You could have a Putin lookalike come out from behind the counter and nail that bitch in the back of the head with a folding steel chair. It'd be hilarious. You know, in the WWE, even in the wrestling world, and I haven't watched wrestling in years, but I had partaken back in the day of watching wrestling many years ago. And it's funny because sometimes they script it and it goes the other script. You know, we're one of the most popular. If I told you, name a professional wrestler that you could think of off the top of your head, even though you don't watch it. You know, somebody that came from wrestling, most of you'd think of The Rock, wouldn't you? You know, Dwayne Johnson. The Rock. Back when he first started, I was watching wrestling. And it was funny because The Rock, he was written as a heel. You know, he was the bad guy. The Rock was a bad guy. He wasn't supposed to be popular. He was the bad guy. And he would come out and do bad guy things in these scripted matches. And the reason he got popular is because he was a popular bad guy. He would come out and they would have their perfectly shined up guy who's supposed to be the good guy. And he would come out and do these things and he'd deliver these funny lines, you know, the people's eyebrow. If you smell what The Rock is cooking. And pretty soon the crowds started cheering for the bad guy. So they had to rewrite the script. You got to give the people what they want. They had to rewrite the script, and all of a sudden, The Rock became one of the most popular entertainers to come out of that industry. Which, for all his faults, is at least entertaining, which is more than can be said for American politics. I don't see how they could write our political thing. Hillary Clinton would always be the heel, no matter what. And no, the people aren't going to decide they like her. Vladimir Putin came from behind the curtain and nailed her in the back of the head with a folding steel chair. I don't think you're going to get anything but rounds of applause. Even if it was written with the idea, this is going to enrage the people and maybe they'll support sending some more money to the Ukraine. Instead, everybody across the country, they'd be going viral. They'd be sharing it on TikTok. Or maybe not. You might be wondering, what's the U.S. Congress up to? You know, we got all this important stuff going on. The administration's letting everybody come in to the country it wants to. The ones that can't make it by foot, they're flying them in because we got to have it for some reason. They won't tell us why. And aside from holding hearings, the usual stuff, what's Congress up to? You got to have this check and balance, you know. You got to have Congress doing their Congress job, which seems to get more and more ill-defined as each day goes by. Well, you see the Republicans, Team R in the House, they're working on important things like banning TikTok. They got this wet dream of banning TikTok, you see, because, you know, some rando's TikTok video talking about crap that nobody cares about. You see, the Chinese could be spying on you. Random TikTok. TikTok video. Yes, they're working on banning the TikTok. I think this is going to be an interesting thing. I hope they really push forward with this. Because it's going to be interesting. You know? I've seen people be banned from social media over the years. May or may not. I've had a little personal experience with that myself. In years past. And it's funny because you see people get banned from social media, individual people, you know, they'll get kicked off. And some of these people will take it just, I mean, so personally. Like, I mean, they are enraged. I have built up my following of 397 followers over 15 years on Twitter, and these suckers banned me? Do you not know how important I am? And they get all, like, personally enraged over it. Most popular social media platform in the country is TikTok now. And the U.S. Congress, because people in Washington live so far removed from the reality of the world, they're wanting to mass ban millions of people in the country at once. Imagine that. They're going to come in and mass ban everybody. And they ain't going to be able to claim somebody else done it. Which is what they were doing with Twitter, Facebook. We know this now. Remember, they were going around telling Twitter, well, we're not telling you to ban these people, but if you know what's good for you, you'll ban this list of accounts. But it isn't us. Look, Twitter's being so unreasonable. And then Congress would hold hearings and tell Twitter, these CEOs, you know, at the time it was that, Dorsey there for Twitter. And of course, Zuckerberg for Facebook. And they have to go to these hearings. And they'd have to sit there through these hearings while these Congress people are making a show in front of the camera. Well, you've been banning people for no reason. How dare you? And those people are having to sit there. These CEOs are having to sit there and know the whole time that they've been banning people that the very same government has been telling them to ban. And people wonder why I don't vote. It's all theater. It's all a show. CEOs go and get lectured by Team R about you're banning people for their political views. Well, at the same time, they've been banning people. The government's been handing them a list of who to ban. But see, they're going to have that plausible deniability if they ban TikTok. I want to see millions of Americans have a dare they ban me meltdown all at once. I want to see it. I want to see what happens. Historians will look back and they will ponder. Nobody could have predicted that the second great collapse, the great civil war of the United States, came about from shutting down TikTok. Millions of single moms who post for attention marched. It was the day of the rope, and nobody thought it would be enraged single moms with tattoos who love posting on TikTok were dragging Congress people out and hanging them off of bridges. It's unprecedented. Nobody saw it coming. I think it'd be hilarious. I gotta hope they do it. See what happens. I want to see them piss off millions of people by banning their favorite social media platform. It's so stupid, though, because, like they say, their big excuse is that somehow China is spying on Americans. Is that great projection or what? You know, no, their problem is it's obviously the one social media company they probably, that the U.S. government isn't having very much love, very much luck using to spy on everybody. Are the Chinese spying on yours truly? I highly doubt it. And let's be honest, if they were, who gives a shit? You know, they'd find my life to be extremely boring. Why would they even do that? They want you to believe that these randos posting on Twitter, or I'm sorry, on TikTok, somehow have this highly important information that the Chinese are just dying to find out about. This plays into people's self-importance. You know, people, this social media culture and the whole celebrity culture here in the U.S., people want to think that they're going through life as some celebrity. You know, you're the center of the world. And so they try to feed people's egos with this. The Chinese Communist Party is trying to get your very valuable information. They're very interested in what you, Latasha James, what you and your TikTok videos are revealing. Obviously, there's nothing there. The Chinese don't care. But we know who is obsessed with spying on everybody and trying to know every single aspect of their lives. And it isn't the Chinese government. Now, they just can't stand it because it's the one social media platform that they can't micromanage. They don't have absolute control. They don't have vast amounts of blackmail material on the people that are running it. It's obvious. These people, they have this obsession, by the way, with having absolute control. I mean, you look at their meltdown over Trump getting in 2016. It's not like he really went out and did anything. They just couldn't stand the idea that they didn't have 100% like micromanaging control. Couldn't stand it. Couldn't stand it. Biden did his State of the Union recently. Did any of y'all watch it? I didn't. I didn't watch snippets. I saw snippets. That's all I need. I don't subject myself to these things. You might think, but GPD, you got to do these shows and political commentary and commentary on the world around us. You need to be, I'm sorry, some prices I'm just not willing to pay. But I saw snippets, you know. I saw snippets. I read the highlights. That's enough for me. It's obvious. You know, like, we know Biden's mental capacity is failing rapidly, you know, and at his age, that's not, you know, an unheard of thing exactly. They roll him out for like the State of the Union address. And in my personal opinion, they had him cranked up on some kind of speed to keep him coherent. I mean, the media spins this stuff, you know, and they're like, he gave a fiery speech listing off his accomplishments. And it's like he's cranked up on something to keep him coherent just long enough. They got to keep him patched up. You know, you look at him do a random deal and the media calls them gaffes. They're not gaffes. He's lost it mentally. A gaffe is when somebody's there all together and they just misspeak. I do gaffes all the time and I just roll along and pretend I said nothing, hoping y'all don't notice. I could go back in editing and cut that out and you wouldn't get the gaffes. But you see, I'm lazy. I don't feel I'm not. But it's a pain. I don't feel like it. I don't want to go back and edit. I think the gaffes make it funnier. That's a gaffe. You know, a gaffe is when you misspeak and you realize as soon as you do it that you misspoke and you correct yourself and you keep rolling. Those aren't gaffes. What Biden does is not gaffes. He doesn't know where he's at. He can't remember. When he calls, you know, the president of Mexico, the president of Egypt or some nonsense, that is a mental failing. He's just the media, though, with a gaffe. So he just keeps misspeaking. Yeah, he's a gaffe prone. He's gaffe prone, all right. He's dementia prone. But you see him out there, and he can't remember where he's at. He obviously can't remember where he's at. If he wasn't such a raging asshole, you would feel sorry for the old guy. But he's out there, and then he goes out here and somehow does this completely more or less semi-coherent State of the Union screaming and pounding the table. They're cranking him up on drugs. I think that's obviously the media would interject here and says claims without evidence as if I'm going to have evidence. But I think it's a pretty, a pretty fair conclusion to come to. You see this guy and he's constantly bumbling, can't remember where he's at, doesn't know which direction to go. But suddenly he can come out for an hour or so and make a fiery speech and more or less keep it together. They probably had to roll him back there. He was probably sweating and they had to do all this treatment afterwards. See, I think Trump, because now it's looking like it's going to be Trump versus Biden 2.0. What would be interesting, you know, because Trump came out here a while back and he said, I'll debate Joe Biden anytime, anywhere. But of course, see, it's all negotiated because like everything else, it's all fake. WWE scripted. Trump needs to make it fun. People supported Trump in 2016 because it was fun. Ain't no fun on the Trump train now. Anyway, Trump should make it fun. He should show up. Like when Joe Biden is somewhere, he should just show up at random and start debating him. Just so we could all have the entertainment of watching Joe Biden be like, who are you again? Who is this guy? It'd be hilarious. I'm sure they'll have at least one or two scripted debates and they'll be scripted and they'll crank Biden up on speed to get him through the debate, at least to make it passable. You know, you crank him up on speed, make sure obviously the debate moderators will be some form of journalist who will sit there and run cover for him. No, Trump needs to make it fun. He needs to show up at random Biden events and start challenging him just so we can watch Biden be confused and not know where the hell he's at. And the media run around and try to pretend that what he said isn't what he said at all. Speaking of Trump, Speaking of stories, I saw a story just recently, and it said that the vast majority of Israeli citizens prefer Trump over Biden. Isn't it funny how that's relevant? And everybody knows it's relevant, but nobody will say why, because that would be anti-Semitic. But you have a news story, and it says this percentage, I don't have it in front of me, but it said this majority, this plurality of Israeli citizens prefer Trump over Biden. And everybody knows that's relevant, but nobody is allowed to say why. You know, the media isn't going out and doing a story of this plurality of Mexican citizens in Mexico. You have to be specific, in Mexico, you know, prefer this candidate over that candidate. This plurality, this majority of the population of Brazil prefers this candidate win over this candidate. But they do a story that the majority of Israeli citizens prefer Trump. Wonder why. I wonder why that's relevant to the discussion. But see, you're not technically allowed. I mean, we do it here. But I mean, if you look out in the mainstream media, they don't follow that article up with, this is very relevant because, you know, a lot of money flows into these American elections. And a lot of it flows in from the very same population that populates this area of land in the Middle East. I have to be careful. You have to be careful. The media is never going to step on that landmine. What was that? That Republican governor for, was it South North Dakota? Whatever the hell her name is. Some woman, of course. And she just passed a law officially recognizing the official group that defines anti-Semitism. You have to have a definition what anti-Semitism is. And I hadn't looked over. It's been a while since I looked over because it evolves. You see, it's like the Constitution is a living document. The document of anti-Semitism is a living document. It morphs and it changes over time. But I reread through their highlights, their points of what's considered anti-Semitism. And basically, it's like any criticism of Israeli policy, anti-Semitism. Any conspiracy theories, such as, you know, saying, you know, Jews have a lot of power over the political system in the United States, this is anti-Semitism. And yet you have the media come out and do this story about how this is very relevant that all these Israelis prefer this candidate over this candidate. Everybody knows why that's relevant, but you can't say it, so you'll run afoul of the document. Go back and reread the document. It's morphed a little bit. They've tweaked it. It's going to be constantly tweaked. New definitions. You know, you got to stay on top of what is and isn't allowed. And even then, you know, you might stay within the framework, but if they change it later, so you can retroactively be guilty of the anti-Semitism. See, I think they're going about that, by the way, the entirely wrong way. I've said this for years. They should set aside their pride, and they could hire. Well, I mean, no, I'm not taking the job, but hypothetically, they could hire someone like me and say, hey, you know, we need you to help us out with our PR because our PR is looking really bad right now, especially in light of like what's going on in Gaza. You know, and the first thing I would tell them is quit whipping out the Holocaust. You're killing yourselves with this thing. You know, this has been your number one thing to whip out on people, but you're overusing it. You're overplaying that thing. Quit talking about it. Let that go. Don't sit there. Quit with this constant ridiculousness. You see, what I would advise them to, and I mean this in all seriousness, this is just an intellectual discussion. They're not going to ask for my help. They're going to look at their list and say this is anti-Semitic. See, what I would advise them to do, they were paying me $6 million a year, and they say, what should we do? We need to brush up on our PR, because no matter how many times we make prominent people go and view the Holocaust Museum, it's not working. For some reason, you know, what worked before doesn't seem to be working now. Of course, first off, I'd be like, quit doing that shit. You know, it's, and then the next thing I would tell them, and I mean this in all seriousness, this is what I would advise them. Also, I'm not even being funny here, but it is funny just to think about them having me give them PR advice. I would tell them, stop claiming that people who say you have a lot of money and power and influence, you know, in the U.S. is anti-Semitic. Instead, own it and amplify it. I would tell the Jews, I would be like, look, own it and amplify it. Say, yes, we do. Yes, we do. And we've been trying to make things better. We've run into some roadblocks. We've tried some things that we'll admit maybe didn't go. We intended for them to go well. You can finesse that. You can finesse. People say, well, you've pushed, you know, you've promoted this agenda we don't like. And you can say, yes, but we had the intentions of doing something good for you. It just, you know, it didn't pan out like we wanted it to, but don't worry, we have better plans in store. People would be receptive to that. They would. People would be, look, I'm going to tell you, white people in America want to love these people. This whole constantly claiming they're anti-Semites and white supremacists and beating them down is the dumbest tactic ever. White Americans want to love these people so much that they put up with just any amount of abuse from them. Stop it. I would tell them, look, agree and amplify. This is the time to agree and amplify. Just come out and say, look, yes, obviously we do have a lot of power. We mean, you know, look at the AIPAC thing. You know, I mean, come on, quit telling people, you know, how dare you notice this? Say yes, we do. But we've done good things. you try to come up with some good things you've done, and say, you know, some things haven't worked out. We admit that. This is what we want to do in the future. We have better plans. We got better plans. We want to do some better things. You know, we admit our mistakes. We're going to, and you know, put it out there. Put it on the back. I'm telling you, I in all seriousness, this would be a much more constructive approach than just yelling and redefining anti-Semite to be anybody who points out the obvious. This is a failing thing, and it's running out of gas, and it's running out of gas very quickly. I would tell them, you come out and say, yes, we have all of this power and influence. And we'll admit, individuals in our collective have not always wielded it in the proper term. You know? Point to something like Harvey Weinstein and say, but see, we'll bring them to justice if they step out of line. The people buy it. I'm telling you. Buy it, but quit whipping out this. You're not supposed to look at every politician going before AIPAC and publicly swearing their allegiance to Israel, and then saying, "Well, how if you claim that they that this group of people has you know a lot of influence in American politics, you're an anti-Semite and an evil person." Stop. That doesn't work. This is why your PR is so incredibly bad. It's so simple. $6 million would be a small price to pay. Chump change out of their pocket. They could hire me to do their PR. No, they're not. Y'all don't be like, don't you dare. You're sitting there saying you're going to be some. Don't worry, they're not. But it is funny to look at how ham-handed it is. You know, how ham-handed. This is what nepotism does. In all its forms. No, I'm saying this is what nepotism does. You don't ever get an outside voice that steps in. And I don't just mean, you know, concerning them. I mean, look at Washington as a whole, you know. You're not getting into one of these positions in Washington unless you went to Harvard or Princeton or Yale. It's all a little club. But the problem with that is you never have anybody step in and say, well, yeah, you know, this policy idea y'all are pushing here is, I can see what you're trying to do, but it's stupid and it's not going to work. Nepotism means you've always got yes men surrounding you that will say the exact same thing because they all went to the exact same school and listened to the exact same professors give the exact same lecture year after year after year. And they all come out and they live in the bubble. That's how you form the bubble. We'll talk about Washington, D.C., and they live in a bubble. That's how you form the bubble. You say, well, you can't go in here unless you've gone to these schools and, you know, studied under this professor who teaches everybody the exact same thing. So they all think the exact same way and they come up with all the same bird brain ideas that never work. That's what nepotism does. Surround yourself in a bubble. People that just agree with you all the time. You got to have somebody from the outside bring fresh perspective and say, that's a stupid idea. It's not going to work. And whenever anybody does try to do that, they shut them up and fire them. If somebody tries to sneak in through the cracks and somebody in Washington, D.C. or the military or something like that, and they speak up and say, that's a dumb idea. It's not going to work. They fire that guy immediately. We need a yes man in here. That's what nepotism. That's what nepotism brings about. It brings about nothing but yes men. It creates the bubble. These people wind up living in a fantasy land. They wind up doing really bad PR. And they're doing it over and over again because they're just convinced it'll work. Anyway, we got to wrap up. We got to wrap up your week. Plan to be back Monday. And unless I get that $6 million job doing their PR. But I'm going to tell you, even now, if they make the offer, I'm not going to the wall and wearing a little hat. I ain't doing that. That's going to be one of my preconditions. I'm not going to go to the wall and wear the little hat. Y'all just going to have to just, nah, we're having fun. I will be back on Monday. I hope you enjoy your weekend. I'll be back on Monday to kick your week off with a more serious version, the Daily Nationalist. If you've missed any of our content Monday through Friday, we got posted up here. I hope you'll get a chance over the weekend or the next few days. Go back and check it out. I think it's worth checking out. Again, hope you enjoy your weekend. Keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.